We're really trying to figure out the role of preservation, what that means in New Orleans. And we want to know what, according to the PRC at least, or your own personal philosophy, what is worth preserving? Who gets to decide that? And why is it important?
Well, I think it should be obvious why it's important, because it works. Where people recognize the value of the existing buildings and where they have hope that they wouldn't be the only ones going in and restoring buildings, miraculous things happen. It works. What we have going on now is just incredible all over the historic parts of our city. And it could be happening in other areas. That is the one thing that discourages me, because if we see it working in some areas, why don't we have it happening everywhere?
So can you give an example of in the historic areas, like where it is working, and then an area of town where you wish the same principles could be applied?
Well, let's just take, say, the Holy Cross neighborhood has really come back. It was badly flooded in the storm. And the area, people are beginning to move between St. Claude and Claiborne Avenue in the lower Ninth Ward, but we're just sort of sitting around waiting for it to happen. There's no special initiative to make it happen, which I think is too bad. It will happen. I mean, more and more people realize the value of these buildings, an existing building, and they know that, well, you can go in with a coat of paint and fix up the bathrooms and kitchen and have a nice house. But it's a slow process unless people get together and say, oh, let's have a tour, let's do a brochure about our neighborhood. You have areas in Central City that are beginning to come back. You have great things happening on O.C. Haley and Ferret Street. But as you get further away from and even close to those areas, you still see blighted buildings. There's no reason for that. We know after 40 years' experience how to address the problems of blight and to attract people to buy these buildings, live in them, or open a business there.
And so in terms of what projects the PRC focuses on, is it people coming to you and talking about their neighborhoods, or do you have committees that you sit in and decide? Who kind of decides what gets what qualifies to be, you know, fought for preservation?
Well, our efforts are really more general in that we have workshops about how to renovate right. We get people in here and we actually teach them things the best way to renovate a building. We have first-time homebuyer training. We teach, have workshops about how to work with a contractor. So it's not so much, oh, we have to save that building or that building, although we do that when that's some wonderful building is up for demolition, but we're addressing it in a much more widespread way. And it's difficult to save a building if you don't have a buyer. And so we know that there are buyers out there. And people love the city. They love its neighborhoods. So there's no excuse to see blighted areas right now. And we have tours in neighborhoods. We're getting ready to have a tour of the Picayune Place Historic District in the CBD. It's the smallest historic neighborhood in the city. But it was very much threatened by the proposal for a high-rise hotel. So we go from something like that all the way to working with a neighborhood, say, in the lower Ninth Ward. And it's all important. And I think there are a lot of people in the city who care about the entire city and all of the aspects of it. Canal Street belongs to everybody. That's something that we think has sort of come to light more recently. So we're hoping to rally people and develop an interest, maybe get some more incentives for total restoration of the buildings on Canal Street, as well as the modest shotgun houses. We have Shotgun House Month. We started that with a tour several years ago, 15 years ago, I believe it was, to show the value of a shotgun house that might look pretty bad But when you have shotgun houses in some parts of town that are selling for a lot of money and are totally gorgeous and in magazines, why would we be tearing them down somewhere else? And that was years ago that we decided, well, we've got to promote the shotgun house and how it can be converted, a double can be converted to a wonderful single house, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and so what is the case that you make? I assume you have to make the case quite often that these things are worth preserving and that they're important. So what case do you make? Why is it important that, you know, these old, sometimes in ill repair, you know, shotgun houses or abandoned buildings that are historic, but why is it important to preserve them as is, you know, to renovate them rather than start over with something new?
Well, it just depends on the building and how bad a shape it's in. But generally, the materials, if whatever is left, is in most cases going to be far better than anything new that you're going to put in. That just is apparent to us and people who've worked on buildings over and over again. Termites don't like the heart of pine. You know, it's too hard. I mean, you have to make sure you have termite protection, but still. And then the way they're built, think of a block of shotgun houses. All together, each one is a modest house, but all together it's actually quite impressive. They make a nice streetscape. And so often today when a new house is built, it does not contribute to the streetscape. So to me, the shotgun house, our shotgun houses collectively represent a belief in the city, a belief in the neighborhood, a belief in the collective, as well as the individual.
What are the, you know, the economic advantages? And I mean, I think you've touched on the cultural, social advantages, preserving kind of the character of the city. But what are the economic advantages of preservation?
Well, generally, once revitalization starts going, the property values do start going up. Now, we're criticized for that. The property values are going up. I think we need to rethink that. Our city needs more tax revenues. We have areas that need to be brought back. Why not do everything we can? And of course, when a neighborhood starts coming alive again, it's appealing to visitors as well. And the tourism industry is important to our city. We can't just put more and more tourists in the French Quarter. We absolutely cannot. So all of our neighborhoods should think, well, how would we like to have visitors come here along our commercial corridor or whatever? Look at Magazine Street. I don't know what percentage of people on Magazine are visitors, but it's probably more than you think. And so that benefits those of us who live here and the city in getting its tax revenues. So, but if we do tourism the wrong way, of course, it can ruin a neighborhood. It can absolutely ruin a neighborhood, so we have to watch it. We have to realize that the rules are important.
Yeah, and in on the subject of you know, seeing what's important to people to preserve or to keep, you know, in their neighborhood, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the work you do, at least the stuff that's more publicized, has to do with very old buildings that kind of fit into a certain time period. I'm just curious, going forward, is it part of the like mission of the PRC that if there's something, you know, one thing we think about, kind of what inspired us to do this segment somewhat, is there's a very beloved Chinese food and chicken wing place called Manchu. I don't know if you've
you've. Well, we own the building next door.
Oh, there you go. Right.
Yes.
Manchu. Yeah. So we were wondering. Like, oh, it's interesting because like obviously that's kind of a really integral part of the neighborhood. You know, is Manchu going to be on the preservation list one day?
Well, you never know. Oh, I wonder when it was built. The rule is if it's 50 years old, it can be protected. Nothing would happen to that building. It is in a historic district already. So, but if they were going to do something to their building to improve it, truthfully, they should be grateful for the design review, the owners themselves, I think, because they would only get good advice about ways to improve it. And it's nice to know that it's a part of the neighborhood and loved. And just because it's a cinder block building that isn't historic, or I don't even know, you know, I haven't looked at it closely lately, but doesn't mean that it isn't important to the neighborhood. The PRC is very much concerned about the tout ensemble of a neighborhood, that term first came into use with respect to the French Quarter. And it's really important for people to know that way back in 1936, before that, people started realizing how charming, beautiful, unique the French Quarter was here in these United States, and how, what can we do about this? And so the Vieux-Carré Commission was established thanks to state legislation that enabled the city to create the commission. And it wasn't to save the most important buildings in the French Quarter. It wasn't to go through the French Quarter and say, well, these are the most important buildings, the others are not. It was to save the tout ensemble of the French Quarter, the all together, the feel of it. And that is something that I think is special about New Orleans. We love our tout ensemble. It's true of every neighborhood. You brought it up just now by mentioning Manju. So we have to keep that in mind and not think, well, that building's not important. Think of the uses that are going in as well.
So in other words, that you're saying that there is room for, you know, the PRC kind of continues to go and incorporating new important things that down the road will be, perhaps if someone wants it to be preserved, it will be.
Well, I hope so. We have built new buildings. They are traditional. I think people in New Orleans like traditional architecture, but certainly we welcome contemporary architecture that complements the context in which the building is standing. Because if it doesn't complement or relate to the surrounding, it's unfortunate, because we care about the tout ensemble. And we want every building to be part of it. It doesn't have to be identical or a replication, but it needs to contribute to the tout ensemble.
And you've pointed out that, you know, PRC has been criticized, or just the concept of preservation has been criticized because it tends to drive up property values. How can preservation work to serve, you know, a wider swath of the population rather than people who are interested mostly in buying very nice historical homes? You know, how does it provide people with better access to services, to housing?
People need to call us up. I mean, we work primarily with modest income people. And I know of projects for Section 8 residents that are fabulous in historic buildings. The two are not exclusive, and it can be done. In fact, I was just touring a project yesterday in Central City. There was all historic buildings and all Section 8 housing, beautiful. And I think when we there's something wrong about thinking that low-income people don't need or wouldn't want a beautiful building to live in. A nice little shotgun house. Honestly, most people love them, but it can be a new building as well. Look, we have so much new construction. Striving through the Harmony neighborhood today in Central City, that the new construction is really commendable there. But we need everybody living here. It can't all be subsidized. We need more people living here. Our population is still so far down. And when we see the potholes, we'll just think, where's the money coming from to pay for the potholes, to put the street signs back up for our schools? We need more people living here. Preservation is for everybody. It makes everybody happy.